In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As summer goes on, our numbers continue to dwindle. But we're here with great joy, the remnant that remains. And I'm reminded this morning in the litany when we pray for all those who are traveling, part of what we're doing gathering together is interceding on behalf of all of our many members of our parish who are on vacation at different places and traveling in different places. Of course, our hearts are with Kara, who's out just about to begin this beautiful choir director training out in Santa Rosa. We have children in camp in Pennsylvania and basically spread all over, Wyoming, everywhere. So today's gospel, brothers and sisters, tells us of the healing of two blind men. It's a very short episode in the gospel, but every gospel narrative, just as every word of the gospel, contains and bears, we might even say, immeasurable meaning. This is because the gospel speaks eternal and timeless truths of the eternal truth of life in God. God speaks through the Holy Gospel, which is why it's important that we read from it each and every day. St. Nikon of Optina says, "Read the Holy Gospel, penetrate its spirit, and make it the rule of your life." If we read the sacred scriptures with faith, says St. Basil the Great, we will feel that we see and hear Christ himself. What is it we need? An actual voice or the one who speaks to us through the scriptures? It is, he continues, all the same. In Holy Scripture, God speaks with us just as truly as when we speak with him through prayer. Today's gospel reading likewise speaks of eternal truths that are of great importance to our everyday lives. It speaks of the love of God for man and of the love of man for God, of the fact that God never leaves us without his merciful assistance. Whatever may befall us, God will never leave us, either in trouble or in woe, if only we remain with him through faith in him, through love for him, and through fidelity to him in our lives. Here come the two blind men of the gospel crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They're very persistent. They've heard of Jesus' miracles, and with simple hearts, they believe in Jesus' power to heal them. So, when he doesn't answer them at first, they follow him, even into someone else's house, continuing to ask and to plead, "Heal us." And the Lord then asks them, "Do you believe in me? Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They reply, again, from simple, uncomplicated hearts, "Yes, O Lord, of course we believe." Then he touches their eyes and they're opened. The blind men recover their sight. We all, brothers and sisters, resemble these two blind men in our own spiritual blindness. And not only in this alone, for all of us in our own ways resemble these ailing men who are afflicted by their infirmities in both our spiritual and our bodily infirmities, which impact and affect us just as their affliction did them. And most of us are also like them in that we continue to ask for help from the Lord for our infirmities, for the alleviation of suffering, for our healing, for the return of our health and the joy of life, which we may have somehow lost, or that of someone we love. But do we resemble these men in their simple faith in the Lord and in his power? Do we resemble them in their persistence, in not giving up and calling out to the Lord? I mentioned last night, after Vespers, this idea that the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Well, in many ways, this is a very Orthodox Christian idea. For the Creator of all does not cause our suffering in this world. He despises it as much as we do. Yet, in his providence, he allows it, in certain measures, for our correction and our healing. The Lord does what to those he loves? Disciplines. The suffering in the world as a whole is caused not by him, but by us, by our having turned our hearts away from God, which allowed death and its twin, suffering, to enter into the world. So in a sense, suffering is just the unraveling of God's good creation, because we, having turned our hearts from him, are now blocking the energy and grace of his life from keeping all things in fullness of life. This is why St. Paul says that at the fall of men, all creation was subjected to frustration. And why he adds that all creation eagerly awaits what? Not the return of Jesus Christ, but the revelation of the sons of God. So in brief, our spiritual condition impacts the external world around us. And suffering has entered the world because men have fallen under the control of the passions, which compel us now to work for sin, or that is, for evil. And in this way, the passions rob us of life and of the true joy of life. They extinguish the flame that gives real light and warmth to the heart. While at first they may seem to add something important to our lives, they in fact devastate us. Disillusionment comes next, and then the soul grows cold and hard. Without our even noticing it, the passions turn us into cold, empty, lazy, calculating people. And by giving into them, we cripple both our own lives and those of the people around us. And too often, we give into them too easily, obscuring the light of the image and likeness of God in which we were created. But the passions can only overshadow the image of God within us. They can only overshadow it. They can never destroy it. For the image of God in man is indestructible. It's at the core of who we are. In other words, brothers and sisters, the passions we might find operating within us are not all-powerful. Their dominance, even over the very worst sinner, think of the worst sinner you know. And all of you who didn't think of yourselves first, you're in trouble. Their dominance, even over the very worst sinner, is not unlimited. In holy baptism, we are granted the power to overcome every passion. Do you believe it? Let me say that again. The power of the passions over the soul, of sin in our lives, the power of sin can always be overcome in Jesus Christ. Regenerated in Christ, in the holy font, the heart can always regain its freedom and be sanctified. Everyone who's come into this world can be enlightened and illumined by the same divine power that gave sight to the two blind men in today's gospel reading. This power is divine grace, and it is given to all who seek it. First, in setting one on a course of repentance and opening one's eyes to the truth of our Lord and Savior and his gospel. Next, in the regenerative power of holy baptism. And then after that, through the sacramental life of the Holy Church. One only needs to seek it, to seek Christ. But we must seek him as a great treasure, as the pearl of great price, selling everything else to gain it. Brothers and sisters, we often hear about what the Church teaches about divine grace. And who among us has not in fact experienced God's power to a greater or lesser extent at some point in our lives? We know that it's by the energy of God that in St. Peter's words, his wondrous words, we are made even partakers of the divine nature. And we all love St. Gregory Palamas, above all for his very sublime and inspired teaching about the energies or activities of God which reveal God to the world and unite the world with God. But it's not enough only to know about this divine power that abides eternally within the world. And it's not enough to know about it even by experience if it's only in distant memories from the past. For as I said before, likely each of us has felt grace at some point touch our sinful hearts in a miraculous manner. No, we need to want God's grace unceasingly, and we must strive to acquire it actively with all that we're worth, that we might abide with God and in God, that the light of the image of God might never be extinguished in our hearts, and that true joy might never be taken from us. Brothers and sisters, let us never despair or lose heart at the presence of the darkness of sin and evil within the world, and even if we find it enveloping our own souls. And let us not imagine that darkness or sin or evil and the grief that accompanies them are somehow our inescapable destiny. No, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So let us endeavor to possess that humility. In other words, to open our hearts to someone else, to God, and to do so with persistence. Let us relearn how to trust simply as the two blind men. And then his power will certainly raise us from the lowest point of our sinful fallenness. These are the Savior's words. To whom will I look but unto the humble and the meek? Let us try to become humble and meek before him. Then the power of God's mercy and grace will not be far from us. The Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, healing every infirmity and disease in the people. Just as he healed these two blind men who had unwavering faith in him. Yet today, too, the Lord Jesus Christ stands present here in his holy church, ready to heal with the same divine power all who have faith in him and who set their hearts on him, granting them peace that passes understanding, joy, and salvation. So let us believe in him with simple and trusting hearts, again as the two blind men, disregarding all obstacles and especially all the discouraging thoughts that come to us from the demons. Let us, brothers and sisters, be faithful in our love for Jesus Christ, truly setting him first in our hearts. And let us glorify throughout all the earth his most wondrous and majestic divine name, as he draws all men unto himself to save even the whole world. Amen.